Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
I hope everybody's having a lovely day. Hey, I've got a guest here today on the show, and what I'm going to do is continue last week's conversation about person-centered care and the report that came out from the Journal of Gerontology, 152-page report, about what the person-centered care focus is all about and what the core of the quality care is going to look like. So today I want to welcome Stacy Naslin. Hi, Stacy.
Hi, thank you for having me, Jill.
Stacy's a good friend of mine, and she runs a wonderful property here in town. And I just love what you do at Spring Ridge Park, and it's an Alzheimer's care center.
It is.
And so, Stacy, you're going to help me today and have a little fun with this, okay?
Good.
So first of all, how long have you been at Spring Ridge?
I actually have been there 3 years now.
Okay,
yep.
Awesome.
Yep. 3 years on Friday.
Wow, yeah. Congratulations. Thanks. And but you've been in the business for a long, long time.
For about 15 years now.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Yep. Exactly. And we have worked together, not actually together, but in the same focus in the Leaders in Dementia Care and trying to use person-centered care in everything we do, with talks we give, with the people we work with our clients, with the people that are your residents that live in the community that you run.
Yes.
And so what I wanted to do was take last week's list of the top 10 care components of quality care for person-centered care and ask you to apply them in a practical application.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it sure does.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So let's quick fire away.
All right.
We don't actually have to quick fire. We'll just do it. So I said last week, and Amelia Schaefer, who is the interim CEO right now as the outgoing CEO of the Alzheimer's Association, has left. She was also the senior VP of programs there. We both said what we thought about this list, so that now I want to have your list, so they don't need my opinion this week. So, all right, person-centered care. Yes. What's that mean in a practical application in your community, Stacy?
You bet. So person-centered care to us means, you know, that people have lived long lives before they got this disease. And what we try to do is use their life. I mean, everything that we've done up to this point has made us who we are. And that's no different in someone with dementia. So what we try to do is take that life, that long, wonderful life that they've lived, and just continue it and use it in their daily care.
Okay.
So to us, they're not a task. They're not a job that needs to be checked off a list. They are the reason why we're there, and we're there to make their day as best possible, the best day that they possibly can have today.
Okay. Yeah. So let's take that a little step further.
Yep.
So the people in your community, your goal, as far as I can tell, is finding a continued purpose for them.
Absolutely.
So let's take that to activities.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. So you have a saying about your activities and engagement. If you don't mind, say it one more time, because I just love it.
So our goal with activities is that our residents are engaged, not just entertained.
Right.
I think that's a big difference in our activities program, is that because we look at their whole life, and part of what we do when people are coming to our community is develop, you know, we have families work on a life story for us, because as we know with dementia, long-term memories stay. Short-term memories go. So as many long-term memories and things about their life that we can tap into in their daily life, that helps us find their purpose.
And then, so let's expand on that just a little bit. So one thing that you do that I don't know that very many other people do is you take your folks out for dinner.
Yeah.
And you take them to the movies.
Yes, we do.
And you take them for drives.
Yeah.
So
tell
my listeners a little bit about that.
Yeah, you bet. So, you know, they shouldn't have to be in one place all the time. I mean, that's not life. That's not normal.
Mm-hmm.
So we have two activities coordinators, a director and an assistant, that work between the two of them 7 days a week. So 3 days a week they work together. So those are the days that we go on outings. That could be going to Chinese food. This week they went to a Mexican restaurant. Our theme right now is armchair travel. So we're kind of trying to do some seeing the world through food kind of thing.
Nice.
They went to Chinese food on Chinese New Year. You know, we go to the movies. We go to the Elvis Cinema. Granted, you know, we have to know our residents and who can handle that kind of outing. Because not everybody can, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of times it's a little too overwhelming for some people, but that's part of knowing our residents. But then the folks that can't handle those kind of outings, you know, where we're going to the movies or out to dinner or a tour of Sea's Candy Factory or Celestial Seasonings, then the other folks get to go just on a ride, you know, but our goal is to get everyone in the house out of the house.
Sure. And yeah. So as an example, if they couldn't handle maybe the restaurant or a long drive, you might just take them for a walk around the neighborhood
yep,
or
absolutely.
Around Sloan's Lake
yep.
over
yep.
to visit the kids across the street
yeah.
or vice versa.
Yeah. The kids across the street, we have a daycare next door to us and they usually come to us, which is another program, you know, that intergenerational where the little daycare kids, they're 3-4 years old, they come over and we set up tables. Each table has a different activity, coloring, you know, Legos, puzzles. The residents sit around those tables and the kids just fill in and have snack with us. And
awesome.
It's amazing. You know, I have teachers that live in our building and to watch those folks just light up because that's what they know. You know?
Right.
And you're right. Like, so the folks, I even have some folks who don't do well on a bus. You know, we have our bus. I have one gal who's European and mass transit was her way of life for many years. And when she's on our bus, she stands up. Because that's what you do on the mass transit. So we know that's not safe for her to go. So
right.
instead of taking her on the bus, we'll take an outing with the van. And she does just fine in the minivan.
Okay. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's go to detection and diagnosis.
Yes.
So you don't necessarily do the diagnosis,
right.
but you have a great staff there.
Yes.
And it is important to understand what type of dementia you're working with.
Yes.
And we talked about Lewy body. Mm-hmm. All right, now let's put it into practical application.
Yeah.
What does that mean when they walk through your door?
You bet. So, you know, when we have different, and we deal with all stages of the disease too.
Sure.
So we have to know how to adapt. We have to make the adaptations and we have to know how to adapt to somebody in early stage, somebody in middle stage, somebody in late. We don't have many early stage folks, but you know. And then same with the different dementias. We train a lot on the different dementias because we know somebody experiencing frontal temporal FTD is going to be more emotional.
Right.
They're going to need that extra support emotionally.
Right.
You know, we understand that. We understand that somebody with Lewy body is going to be maybe younger. You know, and we have to make our adaptations to our program for them.
Right.
Because they're not going to want to do what our 90-year-olds want to do.
Right. Yeah. And it's really important to be able to understand that, isn't it? Because
yes.
even person to person,
yeah.
those different dementias
oh, yeah.
could look very different.
Oh, can look very different. You know, somebody with vascular dementia is not going to have the same deficits as somebody with true Alzheimer's.
Right.
You know, they're going to be a lot more higher functioning in certain areas. So to give them purpose and to give them a good quality of life, we have to do a lot more with them. On things that they would do in their normal life because they can still do all that.
Right. So in addition to that, I want to talk a little bit about assessment and care planning, mm-hmm. how you would actually set a care plan
yeah.
when we come back from our commercial break. But when we do that, we're also going to tackle medical management. We'll get those two things
Great.
Covered in the next break, okay?
Wonderful.
But it's exciting to have you here today
Thank
because,
you.
Like I said, I really wanted to take this is the list,
yeah.
this is what it means from an understanding standpoint, but how do we practically apply it? We'll be right back after a word from Bellevue Heights.
Making the decision to place your loved one in the care of others is one of the most difficult decisions you will ever have to make. If that someone special is in your life and is needing memory care, Bellevue Heights is the place to call home. Bellevue Heights, part of the JEA Senior Living family, is deeply committed to serving people living with Alzheimer's and other related dementias. Living with purpose and meaning is the best reward at Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. Your loved one will live life to its fullest. Licensed nurses on staff 24 hours a day, compassionate caregivers, 3 well-balanced meals, and 3 healthy snacks are a few key elements of the JEA difference. We also offer fully furnished private and semi-private rooms. meaningful activities, and scheduled outings. Call Bellevue Heights at 303-690-0700 to learn more about the high standard of individualized care they can offer your loved one. Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center is located at 14500 East Bellevue Avenue in Aurora. Visit jeaseniorliving.com or call 303-690-0700 to schedule a tour. Come home to family. Come home to Bellevue Heights.
Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
All right, I'm back with Stacy Naslin. She's the Executive Director of Spring Ridge Alzheimer's Care Center.
Yes.
And I love it. It's in Wheat Ridge, by the way. We should tell people that. Give them your address.
Yes, it's 5361 West 26th Avenue in Wheat Ridge. We're just a block west of Sheridan on 26th Avenue.
Okay. And your building really starts with person-centered care.
Yes.
I mean, from the layout to the park to the gazebo to the pavilion to the roses all over the place, right?
Yeah.
So what we're doing today, folks, is we are taking the list that came from the Journal of Gerontology about the person-centered care focus and what quality care should look like in that realm. And I've asked Stacy to take it and turn it into practical application today. All right. So a person walks into your door.
Yes.
You're going to assess them, and you're going to set a care plan.
Yep.
From a person-centered care focus, what does that look like?
Well, for us, assessment and care planning is a little bit different than most communities do. I feel like I can't, you know, before somebody moves in with us, we have to do an assessment to make sure they're appropriate for our community. But I can't really set a care plan or do a true assessment in those 20 minutes I meet somebody for the first time.
Right.
So what we do is... we do care plan with the family before somebody moves in. So I sit down with the family for about 45 minutes and we go through just very practical stuff. What do they like to eat? What do they like to drink? Do they take coffee, cream in their coffee? You know, what are their sleeping habits like? How much help do you give them getting dressed? So we go through all that with the family first. Then what we do is we let the person, you know, move in. We give them 30 days. We give them 30 days to get settled, to get to know us, because everything is completely different in a new environment.
Right.
And we know that. So what we do in a couple weeks after they come in, I sit down with that care plan that we initially did with the family, and we go over it with the staff.
Okay.
And say, has anything changed? What are we doing for this person now that maybe was different in their last community or at home? And then at the end of those 30 days, I sit down and do a very comprehensive assessment as far as the things that we're really doing for people.
Okay.
And how much help people are needing. We really try to keep them as independent as possible. You know, the saying, they don't use it, they lose it.
Right. Right.
And that's so very true. So
that would go around the piece that is information, education, and support.
Yes.
So a family comes in. they think their loved one has maybe lost more than you have uncovered they still have,
right,
which is always our goal.
Yes.
And now we're trying to educate the family to, you know, let mom go for Mexican because maybe she didn't like Mexican before, but she might like it now.
Exactly.
I'm worried mom's going to go out the door and not find her way back.
Yep.
And what education or support would you supply if somebody said, I'm worried that she won't be able to find her way back inside the building?
Yeah, you bet. And the nice thing about our building is we are secured, but our security is our gates and fences around our property.
Right.
Our residents are able to go out any door in our building, and they're out in a beautiful courtyard, still safe within our gates, but they're able to have that autonomy to come and go as they please, which I think makes us different. So I do have lots of families that are concerned mom's going to go out the door and not be able to get back in. Doors are always unlocked. We have cameras on all of our outdoor areas. We do have wander guard bracelets that somebody who maybe is a little bit more confused when they go outside or a fall risk or something like that. It's a little bit extra security. It doesn't lock them out of anything. It just alerts staff that we have somebody going outside that needs, you know, you need to go with them.
Okay.
Or be of assistance or keep an eye out for them.
Okay. So, all right, we'll move to the number six. Sure. Ongoing care for behavioral and psychological symptoms of dementia and support for activities of daily living.
Right.
Now, I know that you really, your strength is engagement.
Yes.
Okay. So a little birdie told me that for an activity a few weeks ago, or maybe even last week, there were four tables set up with different games at each table.
Yes.
And somebody who happens to think they're a checkers expert met his match with a new resident, right?
Yes.
But these are the types of things that make what you do different. It's the person-centered care.
Yeah.
Okay, let's apply it.
Sure, absolutely. You know, and you mentioned the word behaviors.
Yes.
We always hate that word.
Let's get rid of that. What do you want to call it?
Yeah, reactions.
Reactions.
You know, people are having reactions. They're reacting to an unmet need.
I like it.
So our goal and our focus at Spring Ridge Park is to lessen those reactions, lessen those unmet needs by really knowing our folks, knowing what they need, and then keeping them busy. I mean, the two biggest components to dementia is overstimulation and understimulation.
Right.
And so if we can do our programming around keeping them active, keeping them busy, not overstimulated, but keeping them from being understimulated too. And that really helps with those reactions.
So tell me what you think the impact is, the benefit. I'd rather use benefit.
Yeah.
That if it's a nice day, you get everybody ready and you take them out for a walk.
Yeah.
They know, they feel comfortable that they are not locked into your community.
Right.
They can go to dinner. They know. And even though our friends with Alzheimer's may not understand theoretical situations, we're going to dinner later.
Right.
There's a certain acknowledgement, maybe.
Yes.
That, yes, we're going to go for a walk. We're all getting ready to go for a walk. And we're going out the gate and we're just going.
Oh, absolutely.
We're going to dinner. We're going to the pavilion. We're going to go watch a wedding at the church or the nice
the
mansion behind you.
State behind us.
Yeah. Talk about what that benefit really means. Do you think that it registers?
I think it does. You know, I think it gives people a sense of normalcy. You know, it's normal life to go out for a walk when the weather's nice. It's normal to go for a ride. It's normal to go out to dinner. And there's no reason they can't have that normal part of life. You know, we even have folks when they're loading up the bus. Of course, our bus can only take 9 or so people at a time. When we're loading up the bus, I mean, we have 15 people in line wanting to go. And that's why we rotate. You know, we make sure everybody gets out of the house. But when people are out on a ride, then we know back at the community, we've got to keep those people engaged too. So, you know, there's a plan for that. And, you know, whether that maybe is taking those folks who didn't get to go on the ride today, we take them out for a walk, or we go sit outside, or we go, you know, we have garden clubs. It's getting to be that time of year. We go play in the garden.
About that. You play in the garden.
Yeah, we play in the garden. Again, we're doing things that people would do in normal life. Right. Things that you would do at home.
Do they help plant flowers and vegetables, pumpkins?
They don't help. They do it.
They do
it. They do it. You betcha. Yeah, they are. That is their baby. You know, we plant all the flowers in the spring. They pick the zucchinis. We have one lady. We'll go out and sometimes she picks a little too much, but you know, she picks our strawberries. She picks our zucchinis, our squash. We have a letter writing club. So when people get mail, you know, when they get cards in the mail, we help them write those letters back to their family. It's just one or two sentences, but it comes from them. And I think that, again, just part of normal life. That's what you would do, is you would respond to a nice card you got in the mail. So why is that any different now?
Hey, I have to tell you, when my mom was in a community in Piatt County, Illinois, 40 miles outside of town, from where my sisters and brothers live, I got a card through the mail. And it was, my mom had tried to write her name. You couldn't really see it. But the person on the staff wrote, "Your mom tried to write her name."
Aww.
And I tell you what, that brought me to tears.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that.
Yeah.
Well, I love what you do there. When we come back from our commercial break, we're going to talk about how you get your staff to buy into this.
Sure.
And supportive and therapeutic environments and the transition and coordination of services. That rounds out all those top 10. So we'll be right back after a word from my company. You can learn a little bit more about me.
Living and working with Alzheimer's and other dementias can often be challenging. Summit Resilience Training provides education utilizing non-medical approaches for those who work with our friends affected by dementia.
Believing families still need one-on-one assistance, we provide classes which help them understand the diseases affecting their loved ones, offering strategies and techniques for success with activities of daily living and working with confusing behaviors. We offer in-home assessments, education programs, instilling person-centered care philosophies are offered for professional caregivers working in communities and homes, which can be customized for their staff. Training is also available for first responders. We are passionate that people with dementias such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and others are approached with compassion and understanding, and those who work with them have all the tools they need for success. Call us at Summit Resilience Training, 303-420-6988, to schedule a class or in-home assessment. Visit our website at summitresiliencetraining.com for more information.
Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
All right, I'm back with Stacy Naslin. Stacy, I'm so happy you're here today.
Thank you for having me.
This is fantastic to be able to take a list that I went over with Amelia Schaefer from the Alzheimer's Association last week, where we just laid out what each one of these 10 objectives were and talked about what they actually mean on paper. We tried to bring them into life in theory,
yeah.
But you're helping us bring it to life in practice.
In practice.
Okay, so you've got a terrific staff at Spring Ridge.
I do. In
Wheat Ridge.
Yeah.
And they've been with you a long time.
They have been with me a long time. I have caregivers, dietary, 12, 13 years people have worked there.
Incredible.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And even Chris, that is your... I call her your intake. Maybe she's not your intake, but she's
my business office manager, but she's kind of my front desk, first person you see there. And she's 11 years this year, 12 years.
Incredible. Yep. So my kudos to you is that your philosophy filters down to everybody on your staff.
Right.
How do you find those people? Some of them were there before you got there.
Yes.
But they buy into your theory.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think we give it, again, you know, we give it a different environment. We give it a different feel. We empower our staff to be there for our residents. You know, we're not task-centered. We're not, you know, of course, we have a job to do and we have certain things we need to get done. But we're doing it in a more loving, caring way.
Mm-hmm.
One of our little catchphrases is none of us are catching a bus. So, you know, we don't need to hurry. We don't need to rush through our day. You know, we're on their time, you know.
Right.
And if somebody doesn't want to get up at 8 a.m. for breakfast, they don't have to. You know, they can sleep in and we'll make sure they're fed. We'll make sure they're getting their medications. But I know when I'm in a care community, don't get me up at 7 a.m. I'll be not happy.
Right. Is everybody on your staff trained?
Yes, everybody, 100%. My maintenance guys, my housekeeper, everybody. Because I feel like, you know, the saying goes, it takes a village to care for a child. Same thing with dementia. It takes a village. So it's all hands on deck.
That's exactly right. All right, let's take this to number 9, supportive and therapeutic environments. I'm going to give you a specific situation.
Uh-huh.
Okay. A person comes in. Anxiety has ruled their world because maybe they were in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Maybe there was too much stimulation. Maybe it's Lewy body. Maybe it's just unmet needs.
Right.
How are you going to work with that person? How are you going to help that person integrate into your home?
Right. So part of what we do when somebody comes new, we really try to see who they are as a person and try to match them up with somebody who is kind of similar, you know, a peer. You know, we have lots of great residents who love to show people around and love to be helpful. I have lots of retired nurses and things like that, you know, so that's in their nature is to care for folks. So I know who those people that are already in the community. So we try to hook our new folks up with them. A lot of folks are coming from, say, independent living or regular assisted living. And because of their dementia, they've sort of been shunned. And I think that causes a lot of anxiety because they're not like the people that they're around.
Right.
I think when they come to our community, they can be themselves. So I think that lessens the anxiety. They don't have to try to pretend, or they're not being pushed away by their peers. Their peers are embracing them.
Right.
The other piece of that, too, is that we have our activities folks take people under their wing, make sure that they're getting to activities, make sure that if the group isn't what they need or it's too overwhelming, then we do one-on-one with them. Okay. You know, maybe a staff member takes them out to the backyard for a walk. And we know certain times of day can be rough on certain people. So when that happens, you know, we put things in place to support them in those issues, those times, those moments.
Okay. So the last one is transitions and coordinations of services.
Yes.
I want to put this towards nutrition.
Yeah.
Making sure that they're eating, that if they can't get up in the morning, how do you get them up? If somebody's, for some reason, just having a bad day, what's more important, getting that shower or getting them calmed down?
Yeah, getting them calmed down. If you try to do a shower when they're having a bad day,
absolutely,
you are going to be very unsuccessful.
Absolutely. But let's put it into practical application. What would that look like?
You bet. So, yeah, we're more concerned with, you know, like you said, the nutrition piece. We're supporting those folks. We're helping them eat if they need to. We're encouraging them. Maybe it's just cutting up their food and giving them the silverware. We have folks who it's overwhelming to be in the dining room with 30 other people. So we know that. So we let them eat before everyone comes in. Or if they're not ready to eat at that time, then we let them eat afterwards when it's a little more quiet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we always have that staff there to support them too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're having a bad day and it's shower day, we're not going to push the issue. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll get a shower. They'll get a shower eventually. If it's, you know, in the middle of lunch and they want a shower, great. I'm available. Let's go do it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. So
if you went in and you were actually walking somebody down to get a shower and all of a sudden they're not wanting it, what would be a redirection approach?
So a lot of times we would never say, let's go take a shower.
Right. I'm a big fan of not labeling it.
Yeah, going to just set them off. So a lot of times it's, I need your help with something. Can I show you something?
Mm-hmm.
You already have, you know, the shower up and ready to going. Water's running. It's warm. It's comfortable. If they still don't want to do it, it's okay. You know,
right. Turn around, fine. Go have a cup of tea.
Yep. Let's go have a cup of coffee. Let's go outside. You know, whatever that looks like. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. We're never going to force anybody to do anything because it's detrimental to both of us.
Awesome. So as we've talked about the person-centered focus as the core of quality care, your final thoughts on you do it well. What do you think you could wrap up as maybe the mission statement for your person-centered care approach?
Yes. Well, our mission statement at Spring Ridge Park is our mission is to serve others. And that's what we do. You know, we're not, again, not task-centered. We work in their home. That is their home. That is their place. They have full productive lives that they can still live. And it's our job to find that purpose and that meaning for them.
Awesome.
And that's what I think person-centered care is.
I think it is, too.
Giving them the best possible day I can give them today.
When do your mocktail Fridays start?
When the weather gets nice, we can be on the patio.
Well, you have one of the prettiest properties in town.
Thank you.
We have joked a little bit that, you know, it's an old TB hospital.
It is, yeah.
And it may not be the shiny new penny of some of these big, grandiose places.
Right.
But Stacy Naslin, you have, in my opinion, some of the best care in the city behind your walls. And I love your community. And I couldn't think of a better person to explain this and put this into practical application because it's what you do every day.
It's what we do. Yep.
Yeah,
it's our mission.
Give your address and your phone number again,
website,
so people can look for you.
So it's Spring Ridge Park Assisted Living. We're a memory care community. And we are on 5361 West 26th Avenue. That's in Wheat Ridge. And our number is 303-233-8518.
Do you have a website?
Yes, www.springridgepark.com.
Very good. Well, thank you again for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
I hope this has been helpful for people. These are the things I want you to look for if you're looking for a community. If you're not finding these things, keep looking. Okay? If you need help, give me a call, 303-420-6988. And always, always go to my bundles at summitresiliencetraining.com. I've got lots of free information for you. I'll see you next week on Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz. I love you all out there in Caregiver Nation.